Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. We'll get you a schedule, and you can read through according to schedule. You don't have to read by schedule, but everyone that reads their Bible through this year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free. And free is better than cheap. Now, last week I asked you to bring last week's lesson. How many forgot it or don't have one? How many needs one from last week? About 20 more, Brother Zach. I'd say go ahead and make 20 more. They don't need them this minute. Thank you.
How about we focus on Jesus today and let's brag on Him and show Him to others.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. What book are we in?
Revelation.
Revelation. How many revelations are there?
One.
Who wrote it?
God.
God wrote it. What did He do with it? He gave it to the Son. What did the Son do with it? He gave it to the angel. What did the angel do with it? He gave it to John. Now, anybody but Teddy, what did John do with it? He gives to us. That's exactly right. How many themes?
Two.
Give me one of them. Anybody but Teddy. We're going to do what? We're going to adore His person. What's the other plan? Other one. We're going to accept His plan. That's exactly right. What chapters go with the things which thou hast seen? Chapter 1 is right. And that has to do with what time period? The past, that's right. What chapters go with the things which are? 2 and 3 is right. What time period? present tense, present church age. What chapters go with the things which thou shalt see hereafter?
All the rest of them.
All the rest of them. Four on. Has to do with what time period? The future is correct. Brother Teddy, how about praying for us? Okay, open your reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies and came from God, not from man. What chapter are we on?
Five.
Yeah, that's correct. First, let's do a little more review. Last week, we looked at the seven reasons the church will go through the tribulation. Somebody give me number one. It's in your handout today. You didn't forget it. He's coming back. Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And he promised it to the church of Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3. That here he said, because thou hast kept the word of my patience that Brother Teddy was praying about, he said, I also keep thee from the hour of temptation. What's the number two reason? Somebody knew. So, okay, the church is not appointed to wrath. That's exactly right. He's going to take us out of it. That'd be Thessalonians says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath.
Right.
We're not going through the tribulation. We're not going through. This is review from last week. Brother Dave, would you help Brother Zach? If you do not have chapter 6 from last week, raise your hand. They got them for you. Brother Dave, help Zach here, please. Number three reason the church is not going to go through the tribulation. It's not mentioned. In chapter 2 and 3, we got the word church mentioned 7 times and churches 12 times. And you don't find the church mentioned when after chapter 4 starts from there on until you get to chapter 19 when he comes back with his bride. The number 5 reason. You're right. The church is to be judged and married between the rapture and the revelation. He can't come back with his bride, for his bride and with his bride at the same time. Chapter 4, he comes back for us. Chapter 19, he comes back with us. That's exactly right. How about reason number 6? Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. And that's in Thessalonians. It says, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor as a letter from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. And let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Thank you. Number 7. What's the number 7 reason the church will not go through the rapture? We are ambassadors and a nation. Before a nation declares war on another nation, he calls the ambassadors home. And we're ambassadors. And it's just about time for us to get called home. Okay, that's great. Thank you. Anyone not get chapter 6? Okay, thank you, Brother Zach and Brother Dave. Okay, now that's the paper we're on now. Revelation chapter 6. And it says, the title says, of the seven sealed judgments. This is just the way I'm going to remember it. It's 6 of the 7 judgments. And then the number 7th comes in chapter 8. There's an interlude there. Chapter 7 is a little interlude. In chapter 6, we get 6 seals are going to be opened up. And in chapter 6, now the tribulation is starting now. We finished up 4 and 5. That took place in heaven. And that's the good part. And now we're going to look at earth. We're going back to earth. The title for this tribulation period in the book of Revelation from chapter 6 to 19 is The Wrath of the Lamb Invoked. Now, if you're like me, you get pretty aggravated. If it's up to me, I'd already snuffed everybody out and it'd be over with. But the Lord is patient, and He's held back His wrath till now, but He's done holding back. Chapter 6 is on earth. Judgment is given to the Son for His rebel planet. See, the whole human race is in a state of rebellion against God. To different degrees. Hopefully, we've been broke like a wild horse, and now we work for Him, hopefully, and hopefully we'll work on the left or the right, pull on either side, English or Western, and hopefully we do what the Lord wants us to. But still, we got our own problems. But the whole human race is in a state of rebellion against God. Tribulation comes from the Latin word tribulum. It's the same as the tool flail. I know you've heard of that. Flail is the tool used to beat the grain of wheat out of the chaff. And the Lord, God, is getting ready to flail the sin out of this Christ-rejecting world. He's done. He's tired. Let's look at some verses about it. Daniel 12:1. Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of the people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. At that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Verse 2, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds. Now see, we're going to an unclouded day where we're going. And these are words, but I want to go ahead and guarantee you it's worse than what we're reading. The tribulation will be a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountain, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Matthew 24, and we could read the whole chapter, but I think we did read it not too long ago. I'm trying not to read the whole thing. Matthew 24:21. And then shall be great tribulation. Now, technically, the second half of the 7 years is called the great tribulation. But I'll just go ahead and tell you, the first half will be bad enough. And then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. Right. This is what's ahead for some. For all Christ rejectors, but for some people. Zephaniah, chapter 1, and verse, the board probably says 15, I need verse 14. Right on down for a ways, starting in 14. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14 to the end of the chapter. The great day of the Lord, that's the big Lord, is near. The boss, the owner, the landlord is near. It's near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress. A day of... see, that pollen's not going to be anything. I whine about the pollen. It's not going to be a problem. A day of wasteness and desolation. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities. Against the high towers. And I will bring... that's God talking. I, the Lord, the big Lord. I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. That's why. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of His jealousy. For He shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25, starting in verse 31. Down through 33, maybe even more here. Jeremiah 25, 31. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. Yeah. Ever had a controversy with somebody? The Lord's got a controversy. He's done. He's tired. He's through. He has a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. And they shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. We'll stop right there for now. It's those who have heard the gospel and rejected before the rapture will not have another opportunity. Those who have heard the gospel and rejected will not have another opportunity to be saved during the tribulation period. There'll be people saved. We'll see that a little later on. Maybe a number no man can count. But a large multitude, but not those that already understood the gospel. Let's look at that in 2 Thessalonians 2. Starting in verse 8. Second Thessalonians 2, 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. See, just when He shows up, that's going to be enough. Even Him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, in the book of Revelation, and during these chapters we just talked about from 6 here up through 19, there's going to be three series of judgments. The seal judgments, we're going to look at most of those today, and during them, the world is ruined by man. And then a little later, we're going to see the trumpet judgments. In the trumpet judgments, the world is ruled by Satan. And then a little later, there's going to be vile judgments, and during this time, the world is rescued by God. Okay, chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Verse 1 and 2. It's going to be the first seal judgments going to be opened. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, the horse, many times, and especially in this book, is a symbol of war. And the white horse here represents death without blood. In other words, there's going to be a cold war. There's going to be starvation. There's no arrows in the bow.
Right.
No arrow. Again, if you want to know more, you can read Matthew chapter 24, the whole chapter. Every week we could probably read it while we're in the book of Revelation. And that's the first seal, mystery seal. Verse 3 and 4 is the second seal of judgment. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, normally you'd think of this red, bloody horse as the horse of communism mainly. I can agree with that myself. And the communist vision of man is to have a vision of man without God. The communists hate God. They want to wipe out every symbolism or mention of God. That's their religion. Communist is a religion, and it's no God. No God. And there's no peace. And if there is, it's always temporary and counterfeit. And the definition for peace to a communist, they love to use words, and they like to change the definition of words and use them almost backwards, like we learned there a while back. We were talking about this. The definition of peace for a communist is when there's no lands, no nations yet to conquer. Communism has them all. That's their definition of peace. Let's look at some verses about that. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. These are Sister Kim's verses. This is the way it ought to be, right here. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is the everlasting strength. And that'll calm you down if you're having any problems. It's just like a big capsule. That's the way it ought to be. Here's what's happening on the earth at this time, chapter 57, Isaiah 57. Here's the kind of peace that the world offers. Isaiah 57, verse 20 and 21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. And then we just saw another picture of that just recently in Ezekiel 28 and 29 in here of what's going to happen. Now back to Revelation 6, verse 5 and 6 is the third seal. The third seal judgment. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil or the wine." Here is more famine, more rationing. Us Americans today, we're not familiar with rationing. That was back in old days. That was during the 30s. But it's going to happen if you'd happen to get left behind. Matthew 20, verse 2. Don't do it. Don't get left behind. Get Jesus in your heart. Matthew 20, verse 2 shows us a picture of this, or a definition. In that day, a penny worked for a penny a day. A penny represented a day's wage. Today, it might be $300, but still, it's a day's wage. Matthew 20, verse 2. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. Back then, a penny was a day's wage. If it is $300 today, it'll take $300 for you to buy food for this day.
Right.
That'll be this day. And then tomorrow you need to do it again, is the picture. A day's wage and a measure of food is one day's food. Lamentation 2. Lamentations 2, 11 and 12. Mine eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, "Where's the corn? Where's the wine?" When they swoon as the wounded in the streets of the city, when my soul was poured out into their mother's bosom. Talking about the tribulation period. Verse 19 and 20 in that chapter. Arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches. Pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thine hands toward Him, for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. Behold, O Lord, and consider to whom thou hast done this. Shall the women eat their fruit? Talking about women eating their own children, and children of a span long. Shall the priest and the prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? It's going to be rough times. It's what it's going to be. Chapter 4, Lamentation. How has the gold become dim? How has the most fine gold changed? And the stones of the sanctuary poured out in the top of every street. The precious sons of Zion comparable to fine gold. How are they esteemed as earthen pitchers and the work of the hands of the potter? Even the sea monsters draw out the breast. They give suck to their young ones. The daughter of my people has become cruel like ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask bread, and no man breaketh it unto them. They that did feed delicately are desolate in the streets. They that are brought up in the scarlet embrace dunghills. For the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom that was overthrown as in the moment, and no hand stayed on her. Her Nazarites are purer than snow. They are whiter than snow. They are more ruddy in body than rubies. Their polishing was of sapphire. Their visage is blacker than a coal. They are not known in the streets. Their skin cleaveth to their bones. It is withered. It is become like a stick. They that be slain with the sword are better than they that be slain with hunger. For these pine away, stricken through the want of the fruits of the field. The hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. Sodden is cooked. Verse 7 and 8, back to Revelation. We're talking about the tribulation period. We really should have been amen and a whole lot more in the first 5 chapters. But anyhow, Revelation 6, we're in it now. This is where we thought we wanted to go. Revelation 6, 7 and 8, the fourth seal is going to be opened. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was capital D, Death, and capital H, Hell, followed with him. And the power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. On your paper says that one-fourth of the population is 1 billion. But I think I made a mistake. That should be 2 billion. I think there's 8 billion people on earth today. And one-fourth is going to die. It'll be 2 billion. 2 billion. That's physical death. That's spiritual death. And of the beast of the earth, the most destructive of all is the rat.
Yeah, think about that.
He carries 35 diseases. Their fleas carried the bubonic plague in the 1300s and killed one-third of Europe. The bacteria bomb, which a lot of people are talking about the bacteria war now. The terrorists, they love that kind of thing. The bacteria bomb is more effective than the atomic bomb, and it would contribute greatly to the famine. 1 cubic centimeter of a virus could kill 20 million humans. Germ warfare is what they call it. Verse 9 through 11, here's the number 5 seal, judgment. And when he had opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren, that they should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled.
Yes.
The 5th seal, martyred for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. After the Holocaust, Sir Hartley Shawcross testified to the British delegation how during the Holocaust, tattooed human skin was sold to make lampshades. Human hair had been baled for commercial purposes. Gold teeth were extracted from victims. Mass murder for a state-improved industry of byproducts. This is only one page in the sordid story of modern persecution. And these verses also refute the doctrine of soul sleep, and they refute the doctrine of one general resurrection. Chapter 6, the 6th seal. Verse 12, and I beheld when I opened the 6th seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth, and the moon became as blood. This is the greatest earthquake that's ever been. In 1556, China had 1 million die. In 1906, San Francisco had 700 die, and it cost $500 million to build back. In 64, Anchorage, Alaska had 114 people die. It cost $750 million to build back. But this is going to pass all of them. This is going to be the greatest earthquake that's ever been. Then in verse 13, it's going to be the greatest cosmic disturbance that's ever been. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Then verse 14, I hate the word maybe, especially in Sunday school class and the Bible, but I'm just going to say it might be a nuclear war. I don't know. Some say that. And the heaven departed as a scroll. We've seen those mushroom bombs. When it's rolled together in every mountain and island, were moved out of their places. That's 14. 15 and 16 is the world's greatest prayer meeting. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us." They're praying. "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb."
Yeah.
The problem is they're praying to the mountains and the rocks.
Yeah.
Verse 17. For the great day of the wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand?
Yeah.
Well, all we're seeing here is the wrath of the Lamb.
Yeah.
What has it been, the wrath of the Lamb? Well, that's 6 of the 7 seals.
Yeah.
We get over to chapter 8, it'll be number 7. And next week we'll see the world's greatest prayer meeting in chapter 7. Or a revival, I mean. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. Help us to get everybody we can off the wreck. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.